Robert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mueller is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mueller, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mueller Program. Yesterday, it began 5:01 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Same-sex marriage became a reality in the state of California. The nation's largest state in terms of population began a social experiment. It may be short-lived because the voters of California will have the opportunity to amend that state's constitution to reassert marriage as the institution that unites a man and a woman and only a man and a woman. In holy matrimony or in legal marriage, but it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens over the next several days. Yesterday, I predicted that we should expect today and in subsequent days this week news coverage and media analysis that will basically tell this story. Look, yesterday, the dam broke and nothing happened. Yesterday, civilization did not fall. This is basically a good thing. It's not going to undermine society. And you're going to hear over and over again people who say those who are opposed to same-sex marriage are simply out of step. They're simply regressive and not progressive. They have an agenda that is going to hold society back when it needs to move forward. You're going to be hearing that, look, this happened, and heterosexual marriage didn't disappear. Families didn't instantly break up. Society didn't fall into dissolution. Yesterday, as I brought this up with you, I said, just remember this, when civilization falls, you will not hear the beginning of it. And I think any kind of honest historical analysis will indicate that is not a very smart way, a very intelligent way to address this issue. Today, we're going to be talking about what did happen in California. We're going to try to take something of an analysis of the scale of this question now. California representing a tenth of the American population. And the reality is that there are hundreds, and by the end of this week, thousands of same-sex marriages taking place there, even if the voters of California have the opportunity or make the decision, which I certainly hope they will make, to identify marriage as the union of only a man and a woman. There are going to be thousands of people who will claim to be married, and maybe according to the laws of the state are married as same-sex couples. Marriage is taking place between yesterday at 5:01 p.m., and whenever the voters of California will have their opportunity to speak in November. We'll be talking about that in just a few moments. First, a review of issues in the news. At my website at albertmueller.com, I posted an article this morning on the equal parenting movement we discussed yesterday on this program. The catalyst for our discussion was the cover story in this week's issue of the New York Times Magazine. The article by Lisa Belkin takes a look at the movement known as equal parenting. Yesterday, we discussed the fact that, interestingly, even those couples who say they want to have an absolutely equal division of labor between father and mother, the husband and wife, in the home, it just doesn't turn out that way. Equal parenting turns out not to be very equal. And you have to have some explanation for this. If you are a feminist operating from a secular worldview, your explanation has to be that this is just the lingering residue of cultural prejudice. If you are a Christian, you're going to come to a very different understanding. If you're tied to a biblical worldview, that would understand that men and women are indeed equally made in the image of God, but have distinct roles. But interestingly, overnight, after the discussion yesterday, I heard from some interesting folks, including some who said, look, I agree that men and women are different. I agree that men and women have different drives, different desires, different abilities, different roles even. But one writer, and then followed by several others, wrote back to say, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not operating off a biblical worldview. I believe in evolution. I believe evolution produced this. It's just another reminder to us that when you have something like this phenomenon, people who say we want to be absolutely equal in marriage, we want the mother and the father to have absolutely equal roles in taking care of children, when the reality doesn't match the expectation, you have to come up with some explanation. And just thinking about the explanations we just talked about, I would certainly suggest that the biblical explanation entails far fewer problems than tying this to mere cultural prejudice or the product of human evolution. With either of the first two, you got a problem you have to solve. With the Christian worldview, when you start looking at that, you have a truth that needs to be applied. It's a very different reality. Folks, right now, if you are in Iowa or Illinois, Wisconsin, several other states, if you're anywhere near the major river systems in the Midwest, and now including the Mississippi River, you're likely to be worried about the level of the water and the risk or reality of flooding. You know, I was talking to some folks in Iowa yesterday, and it's very clear that in several communities there and in much of the state, it is a catastrophe of a Katrina scale. And one of my concerns right now is that even as America was focused on a hurricane coming with Katrina and a hurricane hitting and the aftermath, there just does not appear to me to be adequate attention given to what's going on in Iowa and in several other states. Right now, we are getting word that despite sandbagging efforts, a levee near Gulfport, Illinois has broken, and Iowa National Guard staff and others on both sides of the Mississippi River are dealing with the fact that that rain-swollen river is now angrily overrunning its banks, and you're talking about a real human disaster there. You're talking about a real-life human disaster which can threaten human life. And beyond even threatening human life, can do massive structural damage to communities and can imperil such things as access to fresh water. So as you are praying these days, be thinking especially of those who are in these flood-stricken areas and those who are attempting to help as well. We're speaking about same-sex marriage. It turns out that same-sex marriage is now a reality in Norway. USA Today reporting from the Associated Press that gay couples in Norway will be granted the same rights as heterosexuals, that is, to marry, adopt, and undergo artificial insemination under a new equality law passed Tuesday. That's the originating sentence from this Associated Press report. When you think about the pace of human change, human social and cultural change, just think about how long it took, for instance, for Americans to accept a technology like the telephone. I saw just recently that America's first telephone book, the first Yellow Pages, is going on sale in an auction. Went back, as I recall, to 1887. That surprised me, going back that far with a listing of how to get a hold of folks in a community. It took a long time for America to get accustomed to access to the telephone. Then you think about radio. You think about television. You think about the automobile, the spread of roads and all the rest. You think about cultural change. Just imagine this sentence. Just imagine someone as a veteran of World War II, having fought in that conflict, coming back to the United States, fresh from that experience, and picking up the newspaper and reading a sentence that reads, gay couples in Norway will be granted the same rights as heterosexuals to marry, adopt, and undergo artificial insemination under a new equality law passed Tuesday. First of all, he wouldn't understand the word gay. And then he wouldn't understand the words artificial insemination, much less putting all this together in one lead sentence in a news story. Just further evidence of how the pace of social, cultural, and moral change has accelerated so much in recent decades. Interesting things going on in terms of our national discussion on the cost of oil. All you have to do to be acquainted with this problem is have to fill your tank. But you know, folks, I've been listening to some amazing conversation going on in the media and just in the public square. And especially as this is tied to Congress and a presidential election and all the rest, let's just get a fundamental reality down. Congress has very little to say about the price of oil. It doesn't really matter much who is president of the United States when you look at the realities of the economy and the price of oil. I was listening to a man in the media yesterday, a man on the street interview, who said, I'm certainly hoping that Congress will finally do something about this. Well, I don't know exactly what someone thinks that Congress is going to be able to do. Certainly, there are such issues as increased offshore drilling, such things as the Anwar region in terms of Alaska. But even if you add all that could possibly come from those sources, it's not really going to make a huge difference in the worldwide reality that we're dealing with a scarce fossil fuel and some big economic competition coming from China and India and all the rest. Now, my purpose in bringing this up is not really to discuss oil. I feel just about as pained as anyone else in standing there at the pump watching those numbers go up to stratospheric heights I never considered imaginable. One of the issues faced by many gas stations is that their pumps simply are not technologically adequate to register costs and prices as high as those that are currently being charged. But in reality, it's another reminder to us that limited government is not only a good theory, it eventually is a hard reality. There's actually very little that governments can do when it comes to a problem like this. This is going to require a lot more than what a government can do. It's going to lead to a change in the way human beings actually relate to technology and to time and to access, but also to the dollar. Here's a fascinating reality. Just imagine what would happen if gas were to double in price again. It's not impossible to imagine. If we were in Europe right now, we'd be paying something like that right now by the time the taxes are added in. Ask the question, would it really change the way Americans live? We're going to find out some interesting things in terms of the moral evaluation of who we are and what our priorities are. There's a report coming out from some pastors who are saying people say they're not coming to church because they can't afford the gas. You know, I'll believe that's plausible when I find out what else they're not doing that's really tied to the high cost of gasoline. We'll be back to talk about the reality of same-sex marriage in California, what it means for all of us. We're going to ask the question, what would it look like when civilization takes a big hit? Will we know it when it happened? Coast to Coast, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. There is ample news coverage out there concerning the advent of same-sex marriage in the state of California. It happened officially yesterday, 5:01 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. It happened in several California communities. Mayor Gavin Newsom of San Francisco was presiding in terms of what happened there in San Francisco. Many people, by the way, are crediting his action taken a couple of years ago to force the issue of same-sex marriage for what has now become a reality in the state, at least a reality for now. Remember that the voters of California will have the opportunity in November to adopt an amendment to the state's constitution that would return marriage to its historical meaning, a union of a man and a woman, and only a man and a woman. But as I'm looking at this, it seems to me there's some big issues we really need to address. One of them is how this will affect religious liberty. That's a dimension we need to think about. And there are a lot of people out there who aren't worried about it at the moment. Let me tell you, you'll be worried about it at some point. Now, the other issue is just in terms of the cultural analysis. The Los Angeles Times, lead editorial this morning, The Right to Love. Underneath in text, it says, same-sex unions do not diminish the bonds of marriage, they uphold them. This is the kind of predictable editorial response from those who would push the agenda of same-sex marriage that we should expect. It happened in Massachusetts. It happens elsewhere, not only in the United States, but in Canada and in the European countries that have moved in this direction. You see the same pattern. Now, I want to read to you from this editorial so you get a sense of how this argument runs. And I hope you listen carefully because you're going to hear this again and again. This is going to become something like the chorus that is sung every time the issue of same-sex marriage comes up. Editorial, The Los Angeles Times, this morning. Across California today, in mass public weddings and in small private services, gay and lesbian couples will exchange official vows of undying love and wedlock. With the sanction of the state Supreme Court, these couples stand together as full citizens at last. Okay, let me put a little period there. Let's analyze just that sentence for a moment. Across California today, in mass public weddings and in small private services, well, that's true, gay and lesbian couples will exchange official vows of undying love and wedlock. Next sentence, with the sanction of the state Supreme Court, these couples stand together as full citizens at last. Let's think about that. Those last few words, did they not catch your attention? They stand together as full citizens at last. So in order to be a full citizen, you have to be able to redefine marriage. In order to be a full citizen, according to the logic of the Los Angeles Times, you have to have the state bend its institution of marriage, its legal definition, to fit your sexual lifestyle. I mean, that's explicitly what is in here. They stand together as full citizens at last. The insinuation of this is that they were not full citizens at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, but they were at 5:01 p.m. Why? Because of the advent of legalized same-sex marriage. Now, what does this say about other people who may want their sexual lifestyles? This is the logic, and this is why, again and again on this program, I come back to the fact that you have two different understandings of the moral direction of history. In one of them, and, you know, at times here we have played the discourse of Senator Edward Kennedy at the confirmation hearings for now Chief Justice John Roberts, because time and time again he would come back to the interrogation of Mr. Roberts by saying, do you understand the history is moving forward in the progressive unfolding of liberties? And that reading of history means that human history is the record of prejudices that are overcome. Now, if you believe that, then eventually you have to overcome every prejudice. That insinuates that every prejudice is a wrong prejudice. Let's set the record straight. There are some prejudices that are simply wrong, immoral, evil, racial prejudice being amongst them. Race is not a morally significant category. Thus, it is immoral to use race as if it were a significant category. But when it comes to sexual behavior, well, now it's a different thing. Now you have people claiming that that also is one of the prejudices that society has to overcome. Now, if you're going to follow this logic, then you can't stop at same-sex marriage. Who else is not a full citizen? Same-sex couples were not full citizens in the state of California at 5 o'clock yesterday, but they were at 5:01, says the Los Angeles Times. Well, who at 5:02 is still not a full citizen? Well, that's a question they do not answer. Reading also from the editorial, they say perhaps the next few months will ease these fears, that is, the fears of those who are concerned that this will injure the institution of marriage. As same-sex couples begin their married lives together, those couples, will settle into communities without disorder or threat. They will bring legal protection to their bonds of love. These bonds can only be good for society. Children gain from being raised by married parents, and communities are stronger when residents are legally committed to one another. As more and more Californians marry, society will grow stronger, not weaker. All right, let's think about that sentence for just a moment, or that paragraph. It says here that children gain from being raised by married parents. Okay, that's really interesting, because I wonder if the Los Angeles Times would apply that same criterion to the question of divorce. When along comes a responsible proposal to limit access to so-called no-fault divorce because of the injury to children, I wonder if the editorial board of the Los Angeles Times is going to say the words they say here, that children gain from being raised by married parents. See, I think it's a very convenient thing to throw in here, as if that is the issue which is at stake with the legalization of same-sex marriage. And it goes on and says, as more and more Californians marry, society will grow stronger, not weaker. What does that look like? What you're talking here is the redefinition of marriage. You have marriage as one thing until 5:01 yesterday, 5:01 p.m. yesterday in California. Now it's another thing. They're arguing this will strengthen society. And again, I want to say, how would we know? What would it look like? In what way does it strengthen it? The next paragraph, they say that that's no doubt why opponents sought a stay of the court's ruling until after the election. They know that as same-sex marriage has become commonplace, the fears about them will fade, and eventually we will wonder what all the fuss was about, end quote. Now, yesterday, that's exactly what I predicted. That's exactly the kind of editorial response you must anticipate when anything like this comes up. They're just going to say, look, the fears will fade, and eventually we will wonder what all the fuss was about. In the meantime, opponents will resort to hyperbole and fear. In other words, if you're opposed to same-sex marriage, the Los Angeles Times says you're motivated by one or both of two things, hyperbole and fear. You're either an exaggerator or a scaredy cat. There's no other way around it. There is no valid argument against it, in other words. Now, just think about that for a moment. Just think about what that insinuates about the course of human history. In other words, until 5:01 p.m. yesterday, hyperbole and fear gripped the entire state of California. Until 5:01 yesterday, it was a state in the ironclad prison of hyperbole and fear. At 5:01 yesterday, p.m., all that was gone. Take this missive, that is a communication last week from the Alliance for Marriage, issued in response to the announcement that the state of New York would recognize unions performed in California. It goes on and reads from this where it says, the governor of New York State will declare hundreds of years of marriage law in New York to be null and void. The governor of New York State will force California-style gay marriage on all the families and children of this state. They continue by saying, it's a fairly reliable indicator of a bad argument when its proponent is forced to overstate the case in order to make it. Well, their argument is that same-sex couples are not upending the institution of marriage. Rather, they are engaged in a profoundly conservative act. This is reading from the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times. They ask not to abolish marriage, but to uphold it. Yes, well, just think about that. You redefine marriage, and you call it a profoundly conservative act. You turn civilization on its head and say, but we're the conservatives. George Orwell was not even up to this. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. What are you thinking about this? How are you processing the media coverage? 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I'd really like to know what you're thinking about this, how you're processing the news coverage and the advent of same-sex marriage in California. How are you talking about this with the people who are in your family, in your workplace, on your college campus? This is happening with a lot of other news, everything from the flooding in Iowa to the presidential election and all the rest, but it is now front and center in terms of this nation's news agenda. It is a major historical event, any way you look at it. Jarrett called from Louisville asking the question. Well, he's back on the lines. We'll go to him immediately. Jarrett, go right ahead. Yeah, Jarrett, go right ahead.
Hey, Dr. Mohler, I was wondering, regarding the gay marriage issue in California, are the voters going to be able to vote on this again in November, or is this kind of a done deal in California?
Jared, I appreciate you calling. It is not a done deal in terms of the fact that the citizens of California will have the opportunity to pass a constitutional amendment in November, which could reverse the decision of their state Supreme Court. And that is now a major issue. As a matter of fact, that may draw just about as many people to the polls in California in November as the presidential election. Polling is indicating, in terms of surveys, that either a small majority, that is a thin majority, of Californians support the amendment or oppose it, depending on which poll you want to read. It's going to be a very close vote unless something changes in California. But, Jarrett, to answer your question, yes, it is not over. The people of California have the right through the citizen initiative process to reverse this decision of the state Supreme Court, and I think it is absolutely vital that they do so. I want to do everything within my power to encourage the residents and the voters of California to do exactly that. And it is regrettable that in many other states there is not that opportunity, because the evidence is that if the people of Massachusetts had had that opportunity through their constitutional power several years ago, they would have done it. But the people of California do have that right, and I'm very thankful to the people who worked so hard to get that by signatures on the ballot for the November election. Thanks for your call, Jarrett. Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida, where Kevin's on the line. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, hi, Doctor. I just wanted to make a comment that I'm noticing the media is hyping the elderly couples that have been together for 40 or 50 years to try and generate sympathy. And one of the things that I noticed is some recent studies have come out in Europe where homosexual unions or marriages have actually had a higher divorce rate than heterosexual. And I just wanted to get your comments on that.
You know, one of the interesting stories coming out of the aftermath of the Massachusetts decision on same-sex marriage is that, indeed, the whole question of same-sex divorce is the next question. And divorce itself is such a serious moral issue when it comes to heterosexual marriage. You know, you're exactly right, Kevin. When you start looking at the news coverage, I'm holding in my hands the page from USA Today. It's page 3A from today's paper. Here's the headline: Gay Couples Tie the Knot in California. And the entire subtitle of the article is this: Women Together for 55 Years Among the First to Wed as Same-Sex Marriage is Legalized. I am told that this picture has appeared in a majority of major American newspapers today, and you can certainly see it here front and center in USA Today. The two women are Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin, and here's the lead. It's very interesting. The article's by Janet Kornblum. She writes some fascinating stuff for USA Today. Here's the lead. When Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin got together 55 years ago, they never dreamed of walking down the aisle together. Quote, "I don't think we would have gotten married if we'd gotten corralled into it," Lyon, 83, says with a laugh. It won't make a difference in her relationship with Martin, age 87. They have their wills in place. They share common property. It goes on and says, "Yet the trailblazing couple says they understand the significance of marriage and are ready to embrace it. Activists for more than a half century, they helped found the first national lesbian organization and helped organize the first national lesbian convention. They also were the first couple to wed 4 years ago when San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, declared gay marriage legal in San Francisco. His declaration sparked a battle that led to the Supreme Court's decision." So, yes, you're exactly right, Kevin. And you're exactly right not only about the content of this news coverage, but the agenda. It's one of the things we talked about yesterday. One of the ways the media naturally goes out of story is through the human interest angle. But in this story, the human interest angle is going to be extremely one-sided. You're going to see report after report of same-sex couple that wanted to get married and now can. You're not going to get the first person kind of analysis of people who are troubled by this. And that's what's different. When you have this kind of first person focus, by definition, it's going to be a very celebrative, a very happy kind of coverage, very positive toward the development, not at all critical. I mean, after all, how in the world could they have written this subtitle of this article differently? They set it up so that it is a very positive story, and that's the spin, and that's the point. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. I'm Albert Mohler.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
You know, getting at the real agenda here is somewhat awkward, and you're not going to have the mainstream media going to the people who are going to be saying, from the side of homosexual activism, that their real agenda is to subvert marriage. You're going to see that coverage submerged for some time. But it does bubble up, nonetheless, in strange places because there are statements made on the record. Michael Signorile, it's Michelangelo's full name, Signorile, in Out Magazine, December, January 1994, and I remember when this came out, he made this argument, a middle ground might be to fight for same-sex marriage and its benefits, and then, once granted, redefine the institution of marriage completely, to demand the right to marry not as a way of adhering to society's moral codes, but rather to debunk a myth and radically alter an archaic institution. Well, there you have, one clear statement of an agenda. You also have Tom Stoddard, a very prominently known homosexual writer, who said enlarging the concept to embrace same-sex couples would necessarily transform it, that is marriage, into something new. Extending the right to marry to gay people, that is abolishing the traditional gender requirements of marriage, can be one of the means, perhaps the principal one, through which the institution divests itself of the sexist trappings of the past, end quote. So that's the kind of stuff you're just not going to see. Also from Michael Signorile, and I remember this article, Out Magazine, May 1996, I do. He says, it is also a chance to wholly transform the definition of family in American culture. It is the final tool with which to dismantle all sodomy statutes, get education about homosexuality and AIDS into public schools, and in short, usher in a sea change in how society views and treats us. Now, the sea change is exactly what we're talking about here. And the sea change is what we saw in the editorial from the Los Angeles Times. Here's the sea change, a metaphor for a massive tidal cultural change. Marriage isn't weaker now, it's stronger. These people are now full citizens. You see how the language is contorted to say that what was wrong is now made right, what was broken is now made whole. And there's a steadfast refusal to deal with what actually happened to the institution of marriage. Marriage was one thing in California at 5 o'clock yesterday. It was another thing at 5:01 p.m. You either think that was a good thing or a bad thing, but you can't fool yourself into thinking it's an inconsequential thing, which is exactly what the writers of this editorial in the Los Angeles Times are trying to have us buy. From West Palm Beach, Florida, Bruce is on the line listening to XM170. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, Dr. Mohler, my comment is, if the people of California overturn the homosexual marriage, what is the social consequences and the upheaval that comes of the homosexuals that are allegedly married?
Well, you know, the unsolved legal question will be at that point about the status of those marriages. I thought you were headed in a different direction, Bruce, and I'm going to go in the direction you asked and then in the direction I thought you were going. In terms of the actual legal and cultural status of those marriages, I think it would be very, very difficult to assume right now how some court might rule on that or how the California legislature might decide on that. But I will tell you that, if anything, the cultural signal it sends is that we are so confused about marriage that once we get marriage established back to where it is defined as human beings have defined it throughout history, that is the union of a man and a woman, there are going to be thousands of people in California who, at the very least, are caught in some kind of vast legal experiment. And I think your question is very well taken. I thought you were going to ask if the voters of California overturn their state Supreme Court's decision on marriage, what will be the cultural signal? I think it'll be a massive cultural signal. I think it will be a very clear signal. This is California, after all. If California reverses this, it can only mean that there is at least some opportunity for America to rethink the whole question of marriage and to come back to some sanity on the question. But that just raises the stakes, doesn't it, for what's going on in California. Bruce, to answer your question, no one knows exactly what's going to happen with those couples. You can be certain that they will press the legal claim that they are still married. And you can be certain there will be those who will say, no, the prevailing law of the land is the marriage, whatever it is, when the state defines marriage at the time. It'll be interesting to see how that comes out. Appreciate your call, Bruce. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, looking at this question, I am reminded all over again about the power of language. And at several points in this discussion today, both in terms of our discussion leading up to the calls and then callers, you've really led us to the point that the language is really important. Whoever controls the language controls the issue. If you control the language, and so you speak in terms of final full citizenship, liberty, celebration, joy, then you can control the way this story is perceived. If, on the other hand, you talk about injury to the institution, radical transformation, overturning centuries of human experience, then you'll control the news the other way. I think the point I wanted to make is that we should anticipate that it's going to be very imbalanced. I mean, I just think that's an honest but tragic reality. It's going to be very imbalanced. Just look at the news coverage. Go to the websites of the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle. Go to the major California newspapers. Go to the New York Times this morning in terms of its lead news story on page one. Listen to the cable news and the 24-hour news network coverage. Listen to the major networks. I think you're going to hear the first person stories. These people waited so long. Now they're finally able to get married, join the celebration. You're going to be hearing, look, this happened. The society didn't crash. You're going to be hearing, what do we talk about before it actually happened? All these news stories about how it's going to help the economy. This morning, that was the first news story I heard on a national news program. A boon for the California marriage business. Fascinating. Let's go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Mark's calling. Go ahead, Mark.
Dr. Moore, I love your program. I'm just curious. I mean, not from a biblical point of view, but from a legal point of view. If same-sex marriage has become the law of the land, won't polygamy then be next? I mean, doesn't this open the door to all kinds of wide-open definitions?
Mark, you're a sane man. That's a great question. The answer has to be yes. Jonathan Turley at George Washington University has made this point over and over again. He's for same-sex marriage, but he's very honest, and he says, look, this is going to mean a total redefinition of marriage eventually. Why do we have a law against polygamy? It's because people believe that polygamy is immoral. Well, people believe that homosexuality was immoral. That goes back to the language of the Supreme Court in California and the language of the Los Angeles Times in the editorial I was reading earlier. It comes back to the question, do you believe that every prejudice is wrong? Then if you do, you got to overcome every prejudice. The argument used to overcome the stricture against same-sex marriage is the same argument. And Mark, this is your point, and you're exactly right. It is the same argument to be used against polygamy. There aren't any additional arguments. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We'll be tracking this issue with you. It's going to be constant conversation for the next several days. I have here before me a pile of articles having to do with responses to the advent of same-sex marriage here in California. The vast majority of it is just outright celebration. Some of it attempts to be kind of a dispassionate, objective analysis, but even where you have a more dispassionate analysis, the first-person angles are all on the pro-same-sex marriage side. They're in the, here are the people who wanted to get married, now they can't get married. Here are the people who have been denied access to the institution of marriage, as they put it, and who now have that access. And you start looking at this and you realize we've got a pattern here that we had better detect. And it's a pattern that is transportable. You will see this not only on this issue, but on other issues as well. We had good callers today. I really appreciated the questions. Every one of them added something to our consideration of this issue. You can also write me, of course, at mail@albertmiller.com or go to the albertmiller.com website and let me know what you're thinking. We'll be tracking this issue with you, and I got to tell you, there's another angle here that's really, really important, and that's the religious liberty angle. How long will it be until Christian schools or Orthodox Jewish institutions in California are told that they are wrongfully discriminating on the basis of human sexuality? What happens when the state of California says, this couple's married, and you have a Christian school who says, no, they're not? Mark Stern of the American Jewish Congress is out talking about this very fact, that there is no question that there will be an inevitable collision between the forces of same-sex marriage and Christian and Orthodox Jewish institutions. He is Jewish himself, General Counsel of the American Jewish Congress. We're going to be talking about this. There's a forthcoming book, Same-Sex Marriage and Religious Liberty. That book can't get out fast enough. As a matter of fact, the voters of California better be paying some very keen attention to that question. And I'm afraid that most of the pastors, school principals, and college presidents of Christian institutions there in California are probably not adequately attentive to this question. And it just goes back to the fact that when you have a cultural movement like this, a great tidal and cultural shift, sometimes the full extent of it and impact of it is not known for some time when it's too late. There's another point of the logic here of this Los Angeles Times editorial that I think should have our attention. That's where it says, at one point, we'll look back and wonder what all the fuss was about. You know, that might be true. But if so, it will be true because the people who do know what marriage is are pretty much marginalized in the society. And don't fool yourself into thinking that's not a part of the agenda of those who will press this case, not only from this point, but beyond. Back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday on the Albert Miller program. We'll talk about what's on your mind. I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.